Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host. Hello, ladies. This is your host, Pastor Teresa, and my co-host, Lady Thomas, and we're so happy that you're tuning in today to Share Talk. As we share, talk, and grow, learning the understanding that the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Well, today we're going to be on live for 60 minutes and 60 minutes of live empowerment, and we truly believe that it's going to make a difference if you open your hearts and open your minds to receive, thus said the Lord. Now make sure you call your sisters and your girlfriends and your mothers and aunties and cousins and nieces and let them know that Share Talk is on the line. Ladies, I also want to let you know that at the last 15 minutes of the show, we will allow you guys to have questions. If you have questions, when you call in, all you got to do is press the number 1 that let me know, give me the indicator that you have a question or a statement pertaining to the subject we're talking about today. Well, again, we have an interesting topic on tonight, and I truly believe that it's going to be a help to all of us as mothers. This is Mother's Monday. Amen. And today our topic is do as we say, not as we do. Are we still living and leading by that? Do as I say, not as I do. We really want to go in. So we're going to go into prayer, and then we're going to start our segment. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your power and your anointing. God, we thank you right now for allowing us to wake up this morning and start us on our way. God, we thank you right now. God, you didn't have to do it, but you did, and you gave us another chance to do it right, to have more relationship with you, and God, also to be an example to somebody else. We ask you right now, come in the midst on today, God, as we minister to your women, your mothers today, God, they could be better mothers, God, that they can be able to better to mother their children, young and the older children, in Jesus' name. We thank you right now. Touch those that saved on today and touch those that may not have a relationship with you, God, but because they get motivated and encouraged by this call and by this show, that they will find you in their soul. We ask you right now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Lady Thomas, I'm so excited what God is going to do. Last time we was together, we had an awesome show, and today I believe that we're going to have another awesome show. Well, today, do as I say, not as I do. And as I put the information out there pertaining to this particular show, one of the things that God has laid on my heart of dealing with us as women, especially as mothers, about habits, good habits, bad habits. And one of the things that I don't know about you, when I was coming up, I used to hear people say this all the time, do as I say, girl, not as I do. Meaning, in other words, don't do what I do, but just do what I tell you to do. But
exactly.
Do that really truly work? And are we still living that out? And are our children really seeing, and do we really truly understand that where we go, what we do, who we hang around, what we say, what we intake in our bodies and everything else pertaining to us as mothers, do we realize that is giving our children good habits and bad habits? So I'm going to allow you to go ahead, sis, and you let us know, what do you think, and do you think we still living it out, do as I say and not as I do?
I think a lot of parents, they do expect for the children to do as I say and not as I do, but in all reality, they're not doing that. They're doing what you're doing. You're being a role model, whether it's bad or good, or, you know, positive or negative. It can, you know, it just depends on what's going on in your life. But at the same time, your children are watching you. They're watching every single move you make. Just as you said, Pastor, when you're talking to someone, how's your demeanor? Are you being negative with them? Are you talking down to them? How is your demeanor when you're having conversations, or when you, what you dress, what you wear? How do you, everyday life? How do you live before your children? Because they're going to look at that. They are going to look at that. I was just thinking about, you know, my girls, even on today, I'm a homeschool mom. I don't know if a lot of our listeners know, but I'm a homeschool mom, and we had a Valentine's Day party, and with the emails that we got, they asked what will we bring, and I said some snacks and some drinks, and I was just reminded, the Holy Ghost was reminding me that these girls are watching me, you know, even though they don't know what the email said, but at the same time, I'm looking, okay, I know I got snacks, but do I have drinks? I really don't have drinks. Do I have enough money for drinks? You know, I said, but you know what? I kept telling myself, and I kept saying this in front of my girls, I'm going to go get these drinks. Because that's what I told them that I would do. I'm going to be a woman of my word. And that's something that mm-hmm. I want to reflect on my children and let them know your word is your bond. What you're telling these people, that's your character. Are you a liar? Are you a woman of truth? So it's very important that we try to live that out in front of our children.
Absolutely. And I do, Lady Thomas, there are a lot of people, and especially mothers. Let's talk about mothers, because I truly believe I'm very strong and very strong on the mothers, because we are our children's first teachers, not their father,
right.
but their mother.
Right.
When we have
yes.
that baby in our womb, we're teaching that baby. When, you know, I didn't have this when I was coming up. And I want to say this up front, ladies, as you're listening, mothers, as you're listening. Some of the things, the practical things and experiential things that we're going to be giving you tonight, I did not follow all these things, but I learned lessons from that. And what I am doing and what I like to do is share that with you so you don't have to make that same mistake. You may say, well, it's too late. It's never too late to make a change. And I don't want to go ahead of myself, but it's never too late to make a change. Because if we want our children to really truly be what God wants them to be, and also without all the extra. I tell the ministry in our church that a lot of things that we have no control over, but there's some things that we do have control over, and we have to remove the ammunition. What do you mean, Pastor
yes.
Teresa? It's by this. You have to do what's in your means. Whatever you do, if you know you have a habit, you know you have things that's going on in your life, you have to do what you need to do. Seeking God, seeking prayer, going fasting, whatever you need to do, get counseling, whatever it is, so you can be the
yes.
best mother, best wife, the best sister, the best vessel that God want on this earth, so that way all the other stuff that does come your way, you don't have no control of that. You leave that to God. But the things that you do have control over, those are things that you have to practice. So I like that what you said. We are our children's role models, and I think we say that, we say we know that, but do we really, really know that? Do we understand when we at the cashier and someone, the cashier gets you upset and your child is sitting there listening to you and watching
yes.
you going on the cashier? Do you realize
yes.
that you actually train her or him how to respond to negativity in the community? Are you,
yes.
do we really realize that we're teaching, like when I used to be working for the Community Partnership for Protection of Children,
mm-hmm.
and I used to be in the Reebok Full Service School, and I used to hate, Lady Thomas, I used to hate going to the Reebok School, middle school and high school, and I used to see a lot of our African-American moms come up there cut up like a fool
mm.
about their child. And then you wonder
yeah.
why your child is in the classroom cutting up. Now I see
Amen.
Where your child gets that from. You going off
yes.
on a teacher when the teacher called you to come to the school because your child was in the fight. Now, by the time
yes.
your child got through with you, your child worked you over and told you it wasn't your school and cut up. Oh, it
exactly.
was my child. You never listened to the teacher. You have
That's
not
right.
listened to they say, and not to say all teachers are right, and not to say all
mm-hmm.
teachers are, you got the best interest of your child's heart. However, your responsibility, how you talk to that teacher, how you talk to that principal, how you talk to that guidance counselor, your child is standing there, sitting there, listening to everything you say. They looking
That's
at your
right.
manner. You're absolutely right, sis, that we are our children's role model. We supposed to set a standard for our young people, but I'm sad to say, and this is not everybody, audience,
mm-hmm.
I hear you. Well, I don't do that. But what do you do? And we're going to get to
That's
that
right.
in a minute. But we have some discussion questions that has been on the
okay.
board. discussion questions, and I want to go into that in 1 second. But I want to ask you, Lady Thomas, have you ever seen yourself, give us example of an incident or some situation where you looked at, okay, I handled that situation bad or wrong, and my child was standing right there with me. I mean, or she was in the room, or he was in the room. Have you ever had experience in that?
I would not as far as like being you know, somewhere to where I just show my butt. You know what I'm saying? And just going off,
show
and then
butt.
They're like, you know, they're just like, okay, mom, wow, you really just went in. But at the same time, just I would say learning to be a little bit more patient. I'll give you this example. My daughter that I'm, my middle daughter that's 13 that I'm homeschooling, she has had 5 surgeries since she was the age of 3, and all of them had to do with her brain or something to do with her head. And I think of myself as a very patient mom, and but at the same time, I was talking to her the other day, and she said something to the effect that, you just never let me finish my sentences. You just never let me finish. And I had to take a look back, Pastor, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, here I am thinking that I am this patient mom and I am listening to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, you know, that's another a good habit to have is being patient. And I told her,
absolutely.
And I said, oh, my God. I said, you know what? I said, baby, I'm going to try my best to do that for you. And I spoke with her father too, because he said the same thing. He said, you know, I never really thought of that. You know, we always looked at ourselves as being patient, you know, with her, because we know it takes a little bit longer for her to process things, you know. And and sometimes she'll have, you know, she'll have an argument with her sister and she'll come back like 5 minutes later and still talk about it. And I would say, Natalia, it's over. It's done with, you know. But with her dealing with the things that she's been dealing with, it just takes a little bit longer. And she's like, wait a minute, I didn't get this off my chest, you know. And I'm like, okay,
right.
But, you know, but it's all said and done. And I just say that to say this, that we're learning to be a little bit more patient with her, to let her express herself the way that she needs to, because she's watching us, just like you said.
Right.
You know, the children are watching us, and she's just like, you know what, you just never let me finish what I wanted to say, you know. And so
right.
that's one, you know, one example of that. But, yeah, I can't think of anything else, but that definitely just really touched, you know, came home for me, you know, just to be able
right.
to listen to her a little bit more and let her finish, no matter if it takes 10 minutes, you know, if it takes,
right.
If it's 10 minutes later that she comes back with it, but just learning to be a little
right.
bit more patient.
Right. And, you know, and I can by with that. I know, Lord Jesus, God had to work with me with patience with
mm-hmm.
my children as well. And I have a tendency,
mm-hmm.
and I have had a, especially in the past, that I overtalk my children, and I still have to work on it. Your audience, yes, I'm
mm-hmm.
still working on things, especially with my baby girl.
Yes.
I'm one of my baby girls, and I still have to work on that, because she have a tendency to, you know, say some stupid stuff to me. Like,
uh-oh.
I ask a question, go long, this long story, and I'm like, get to the point, get to the point. And I'm trying to get to the
mm-hmm.
point, but yet we're teaching our children how to be impatient with other people. If we're impatient
exactly.
with our own children, they're going to be impatient with other people at the school. And that's why I teach my daughter. I have one grandbaby, God, and then she's such a sweet little girl. And
yes,
I teach my daughter. Yes, she's so sweet. I love her so much. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. Can't get off to me. Get off to me. But my point is that, you know, I don't want my daughter to make the same mistakes I made. And so I teach my daughter, I say, whatever habits or whatever you want to see Tamia do it, make sure that you are a partaker of it first. I said, because
that's
I don't
right.
want,
that's
I definitely,
right.
when I was in the school system and these kids used to come to the school, I said, what do these parents be giving these children? It's like, must be sugar. I'm like, oh, my goodness. They just bounced off the wall. And so
yes.
I taught her, and she does so well with Tamia. She does so
mm-hmm.
well. She got Tamia's on a structure, an agenda, and it's an agenda,
yes.
baby. She got an agenda, baby. And so my daughter
yes.
does it very well. But I teach her, and I said, honey, I don't want you to make the same mistakes I made, you know, with you guys.
That's right.
A lot of I learned so late in the game because I did not have nobody to teach me. And that's the reason why we on the line today. And that's the reason we have this show today. Because some of you ladies out there saying, I want to do better, but I don't know how to do better. I want to do better, but I don't know. Some people say, I did not know something was wrong with me. I didn't know that was a bad habit. I did not know this was wrong. And it's you. When sometimes we don't know when something's wrong until we up against something right. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so this is the reason why this show has actually been developed, because we want to share with women that you can do this better. That's always, I don't care how high we get, we still need to do things better. And you can't beat yourself up, because that's not what we want you to do. What we want you to do is to sit back and listen to yourself or listen to someone else and say, hey, is there something I could do something better in this as a mother? And so today we want to go into our discussion questions. And the first question we have, what is a habit? What is a habit, lady?
Amen, amen. Well, I just looked it up at the definition, and the definition is telling us it's a settled or regular tendency of practice, especially one that is hard to give up, something that you're accustomed to, something that you practice every day, or a routine or a pattern or a way of life. I mean, not a way of life, I'm sorry, but the way that you do things in your life. And It can be good habits. It can be, you know, bad habits. And right now, I believe, you know, we're focusing on the bad habits because that's something that, you know, we're passing down to our children because they're watching us. They're watching us.
Right.
Whether you're lying, they know when you're lying. They know whether or not if you, you know, you feed a homeless person on the street and they say, can I get 50 cents? And they know you got 50, you know, they know you got 50 cents. They know, they're like, well, Mom, why didn't you give
Absolutely.
Them the 50 cents? You know, so they see that. Or whether you cheating.
Right.
You know, some you just never know. You know, or you know, it can be something little as nail biting. You know, or sucking your thumb. Any habit, you know, that a child may face, and they may see you. Some adults, they actually do still suck their thumb, and that's something that you know you just don't want to pass down to your children. So yeah, those are some of the habits that I was looking at, But definitely that's the definition that I came up with.
And I like the part, the synonyms of what you had just named, the custom, the practice, the routine, the pattern, and tradition, the norm. What type of norm do you want to create for your atmosphere for your children? What type of norm? One of the things I try to deal with my kids is especially my daughters, I tell my oldest was out the house, so she got her own house. She's married. She got her baby and everything. And I thank God for when I go to her house is always clean. And she got a structure.
Yeah.
She got a created a norm for her environment, for her children, for her child, and for her husband. But my question to us, are we truly developing a norm for our children that still live within inside our home? And so we have to be very conscious what we do and how we do things, because our children is going to learn from that and grow from that. You hear what I said?
Right.
They learn from that, and then they will grow from the very information or what you allow. Sometimes you say, well, I never told my child that. You don't have to tell them. They watch you do
that's
something.
That's right. They are watching. Amen.
We don't have to teach our children how to lie. We don't have to teach our children how to lie, but they watch us lie, and they learn how to lie. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
So, so a lot of times when we talk about what is a habit is a custom, it's a practice that you do, that you have, it's creating a norm for your life, and then your children are growing up amongst your habit. So
that's
I don't know
right.
what your habit may be. And I want you to think about these ladies, mothers out there. What is your habit? Think about that before we go on to the next question. What are your habits? I guarantee you, and I hear you, and I feel you in the spirit, that some of you are thinking about it now. Ooh, I do have a couple of habits I need to break. Some of you have a habit of gossiping, and your daughter and your son standing right there. But as soon as they get caught up in school with some he say, she say stuff, now you know I'm not about drama. But really? Okay.
Exactly.
Let's identify drama. Well, if you always
right.
in something, if you always a part of some type of conversation about somebody else, you got to ask yourself a question. Are you sure that you're not about drama? Because that's not what you're saying to children. So some of us, we say, you know, you need to lose weight. But you telling your children they need to lose weight, you get in a bad habit about always eating this and always eating that. But what are you bringing into your house? That's one of the things that God had to really deal with me about. You know, if we want our children to be healthy, then we got to create a healthy physically. Then we got to create an atmosphere in the house that's going to allow them to grow healthy. So we always purchasing snacks and microwave dinners and different. I hear you. I hear you out there, audience. Well, I do microwave dinner because I don't know how to cook. Okay. All right. Okay. That's a whole other subject right there.
Amen.
But my point is, you had it, because I'm not going to say it's nothing wrong with microwave dinners, but you do want to teach your daughters how to cook. You really want to get
that's
in a place
right.
Children do know how to cook and take care of themselves, because it's more expensive to cook like that versus you cooking a good meal, a good solid meal that this family can eat on. So what is a habit? A habit is a practice, a behavior that you have learned down the years. And I don't know how long you had it. Now, the statistic says that it takes 21 days to learn a habit.
That's
21
right.
days. Some out there, you may be 21, you may be 25, you may be 53, you may be 61. And you're saying, whoa, 61. So if we know it takes 21 days to learn a habit, that means how many days is it going to take you to unlearn that habit?
21.
Unlearn that. That's going to take some time. But that's a long time, isn't it, baby? But the point is, it's much easier. You're so silly. It's much easier to train your children. Some of you out there have young kids. You have a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 10-year-old. Now, I will be honest with you. It becomes difficult when they become teenager and now you want to change. Now, but I'm not telling you it's impossible, because it is possible. It is possible.
That's right.
To change.
That's right.
The direction of where your children was headed in, but it's going to require you to sit down, and we're going to go with that. We're going to give you some steps on how to undo, redo the habits that you have already have established. So we have some steps for you tonight. But the next question is, sis, is can we see the results of our bad habits in our children right away? Can we see the results of our bad habits in our children right away?
Yes, most definitely. You know, again, like I was saying, you know, some may have the habit of you know, lying and stealing and you know, cursing and just different things of that nature, or just having a bad attitude. We can see that right away. And I promise you, looking at some of these 1-year-olds, some of these 2-year-olds, oh, they're looking.
I got it.
They pick it up right away. You know, so yes, you can see it. You can see it in these little children. And so that's why it's so important for us to, you know, be able to get into that word and be able to just learn how to be good followers of Christ. That's what a Christian is, a follower of Christ. We're following by his example, what he has done. And so as we begin to look at his life and we begin to reflect his life, then the children can see that as well with us.
Absolutely.
So, yes, we can see it right away, but that doesn't mean there's no hope. There is a change.
Absolutely.
You can change. There, you know, and don't give up, and don't get upset when you see it in these. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Listener, what I'm saying is don't want to backhand them or cuss them out or, you know, or beat them down and say, where do you learn this from, da-da-da-da, or whatever it may be. Learn how to love them and teach them with love and kindness, just like what God's word says, with love and kindness I have drawn thee. So even with our children, you know, we have to be able to love them and let them know that, hey, this is not right what you have done, but let me show you how to do it. Let me take you by the hand.
Absolutely.
Let me show you.
Absolutely.
Let me teach you.
Absolutely.
And don't leave it up to, you know, chance and just say, you know, they'll get it. You know, it's up to us as parents, as mothers, to be able to show these young ones that, you know what, you can do it. You can be a woman of God or a man of God. Let me show you how to do it.
Right. And you know what? I like what you said. And this is something I deal with a lot of women. And I hear a lot of men say it, too. You know, my mama taught it to me. She going to be fine. And God helped me and he rescued me. You know, my husband preached a message yesterday, and it was so powerful. And one of the things that I got out the message when he was talking about, we living in the last 2 minutes. He used the illustration of football and the 2-minute warning, the 2-minute last play. and I don't know about football, so I may mess it up. So bear with me, guys. Don't
I'll help you, Pastor.
Thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. But, well, I forgot your husband was a football player.
Yes.
I forgot about that. So, but one of the things he said to me, he said to the congregation, I would not take a chance in the last 2 minutes of my life. And I don't mean the last two physical minutes, but we're actually living in the last evil days. Why play games in this last time, in the last 2 minutes of your life? Why take a chance that you're going to talk about, well, she's going to get it or he's going to get it? No, you provide that information. You provide that to your child. You be that example to your child. Why are we talking about bad habits? Because if we ever want to see our children really, really have a fair chance in life, in society, in the school system, whatever, we got to teach them at home. These teachers, and I hate to go on a rampage on this, but these teachers are not supposed to be the person to chastise your children. They should not be
one
to correct behavior. They're not the ones should be teaching them more values. They're not the ones should be teaching that. They're supposed to educate them in education and academics, not supposed to come from home. Teachers now have to be a social worker and a teacher because they're not learning these things at home. You know, and then we say, well, I teach my child, but you may be teaching them verbally, but are you teaching them by the way you act? How you treating other people? If they always hear you complaining always have something negative to say about somebody, what are you teaching your child? What are you telling them? What are you telling them about other people? If your child always hearing you, and I tell my daughter, I say, honey, those babies understand when they were in the womb. So how
that's
is
right.
If hollering, if you're a person that loves to holler, scream, shout, guess what's going to happen? That child going to be loud, just like you.
Yes.
Loud, just like you. And everything they talk about, and then they're in school, they're going to be loud about it. And the people have to always constantly tell your child, lower your voice. Why? Because they've been in a loud environment.
Because everything
communicated to them is in a loud tone. So what we're saying, we really want you to take conscious of what you're saying and what you're doing and how you do these things around your children. No, you may not get this when you was coming up. No, your mom and it was not the good example, the perfect example of what a mother should do and how she's supposed to. Maybe not, but you have a chance. Like the woman of God has said, that when you come into Christ, and this, no, the Bible don't tell you to do this, that, and other, but I promise you, when you take on the mind of Christ, and we're going to go there in a minute, we're going to give you some tips, but when you take on the mind of Christ, you got to open yourself up for revelation and understanding and wisdom from God. But if you don't open yourself up for it, you're not going to hear. If your mind is always entertaining foolishness, drama, gossip. You know, I tell my ladies, I say, be careful what you watch on TV. I mean, you think it's not okay that your whole life is consumed by talk shows and all they're doing is gossip. What are you really teaching your children?
That's true.
It's entertainment, but do you understand what the enemy is doing behind the doors?
It's
nothing wrong with entertainment, but do we really pay attention? We're telling our children to go to school and get an education and stay out of trouble, stay out of gossip, stay out of this. But this is what I listen to. This is what entertains me.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We watching shows with a bunch of cuss words in it, but we don't want our children to cuss. Really?
Mm-hmm. Hello? Exactly.
I'm trying to think, how are we going to be balanced with that? If we want our children have a better mindset, we have to provide them a better atmosphere to do that. Because when
they go out
to the system, they got so many things they got to war against. But when they come home, they should be coming into a healthy environment. A lot of the things that we're telling you guys to do today and really take note of today, I really wish of some of this stuff I knew when my children was younger. I really wish that I would have did it. I didn't do it right. I didn't always do it right. When I was a social worker in the Community Partnership for Protection of Children, a lot of stuff I learned then how bad a parent I was. I learned how bad of a parent I was then. I would have to have family support meetings with with families that was, you know, children were being removed out the home and different stuff like that. And my job was to bring the family together and see what type of resources that I can provide so the family could stay together. And when I used to get these families around the table, I had to have a social worker there. I had to have the parents there, the child there, the teacher there, the principal there, a doctor there. This family support team meeting supposed to be surrounding this child. How can we get this child where this child needs to be? And one of the things I have learned, sis, that as I was doing that, I saw me at the table. I literally would hear these children or the parents would say certain things, and I was like, I'm sitting there, I'm the mediator. I'm the person who calls the I'm the person actually providing resources, but I'm finding that at the meeting that they sound like me. That's what I do.
Wow.
And I went home, and I asked my daughter, I said, can I ask you a question? One, I'm going to give you one example. One of my, back in the day, before I got married, I used to have, by me working and stuff, and my daughter, my baby girl would get out of school early. And so my oldest daughter, she always watched my youngest baby. And then sometimes I'll leave work and go to a community meeting or go to some other meetings, and I would always have my oldest daughter watch my little girl. And so I never thought nothing of it. I thought that was her responsibility. You are the oldest sibling. You're supposed to do this. And did you supposed
That's
to
right.
do that? I never think nothing of it. But one day, while I was in a family support team meeting, listened to a teenager complaining because she started developing all these bad behaviors, and the children, the state was going to take the child away. Well, one of the things I was trying to figure out, what was the problem? So we had all these people come to the table trying to figure out what is the root of this child behavior. Well, the child started talking, she started talking about how her mom always leave her siblings with her, and she have two jobs. She said, I didn't have these children. I didn't have these children, and I can't understand why I'm responsible for them. I had to feed them. I had to do their homework with them. I had to put them to bed. I had to make sure they washed. I washed their clothes. I'm like,
wow.
That's
all
I see.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I would come home, and I would ask my daughter. I would ask my oldest daughter. I said, do you mind watching Takesha while I'm working? And you're like, she'd be like, Mom, why are you asking me that? I said, I need you to answer questions. I want you to tell me the truth. How do you truly feel about watching your sister while mommy at work and stuff like that? And my big girl was kind of rough. She was a rough, that little girl.
She spoke
did
the truth.
Oh, baby, when I tell you, it's something when you have to watch your siblings, but then they hard-headed. My God. And then your older siblings get in trouble because what the little siblings do. So, make a long story short, she eventually told me that she didn't like doing it. And I'm like, why you never said anything? I didn't think I had a choice anyway. And I hear your parents, especially your old school people. I know what you're saying. Well, that's how we did it. But if you just look at the behavior of your children.
That's right.
And I thank God that my daughter did not get she didn't develop no bad behaviors behind it. But I caught it early enough. And I changed it. I said, okay, I'm going to have to do something different. I said, because I don't want her to feel responsible for her sister, you know. And then I think over the years, because I put that on her, I don't care where Takesha is, she just feel like she's responsible to make sure her sister is where she's supposed to be. And, you know, there is a sibling responsibility, but she is not her caretaker. She is not the person care of her. That's the difference. I hear the audience, well, I have to work. I got two jobs. I'm not saying that there's sometimes, but what I'm saying, this is what I'm saying. If that's what you have to do in this season, but when you get home, make sure you relieve your child.
That's right.
Don't
tell
her, that, okay, did you do this, do that, do that? No, relieve your child from those duties once you get home. And, yes, you may be tired. And, yes, unfortunately, you're going to be worn out. However, this is the consequences of whatever, how many kids you have or whatever you did. And you know, that's just the consequences of that. But it should not be the consequences your daughter have to be now become the parent.
That's
Do you understand
right.
what I'm
saying? That's right.
So
that's
I use that story in a lot of times with especially mothers that, you know, constantly have the older siblings always taking care of the young ones. And then, and I have to say this, and don't beat me up, audience, especially when you keep having babies. I will love somebody.
Uh-oh. Say it, Pastor.
I dropped the mic. I'm like, you know, I have witnesses in the community, especially in the African-American community.
Yeah.
Literally, these older siblings still got to take care of these little kids, these little siblings, where they don't have no life. They can't do anything. I'm not talking about going to clubs and stuff like that, but I'm literally, they just can't sit back and just relax because they got to
exactly.
make sure the dishes are washed and the Pampers are changing, you know, getting up, giving milk to the babies and stuff like that. There's a part they should share in that, but it should be a joy, not a burden.
Yeah, that's right, that's right,
so
that's right.
The surprise, actually, that was one of my surprise habits that I really wanted to talk about. I done went right into that. And so I said it to say, a lot of times our young people, especially our teenagers, they go to school angry because they're so mad about their circumstances at home because somebody did not pay attention when you was having all these babies. And I'm not saying you should got an abortion or that because I don't believe in that, but pay attention to your behavior. And I'm hoping and praying that I have some young mothers out there listening. And that you have one child right now, and you know, but you out there still have you have these sexual relationships. I want you to think about more than just right now. You getting your groove on, but I want you to think about if you have another baby, what that's going to look like to your other child. What is that going to look
right.
like to your child? So therefore, you need to pay attention to what you're doing because it's not fair to the child when you make all your mistakes, and then they got to come up and somehow I want you to hear when I say this, clean up your mistakes. Because now they've got to come to rescue for you because you're overwhelmed now.
Yes.
And I had so many clients, I promise you, sis, I had so many clients was fit in that category. And I was like, I would shake my head. But so a lot of times I use that for example to show you that I didn't always do it right. And there's other examples I could give you. But when I was doing those family team meetings, that did a gut check for me. As I'm helping other people, it started showing me who I really was and what I was doing wrong. So I started changing a lot of habits that I had because literally nobody never told me. I used to hear people say it all the time, well, that's their responsibility, and that's how they do. That's what they're supposed to do to help mommy out. I'm a single mom, and everybody got to help. I do believe that everybody, a child should help take responsibility of the house some kind of way. But there's certain things that they should not be doing. They should be allowed to They need to allow to be a kid. And a lot of times
That's
they don't
right.
allow a kid. They got to be adults when they're children. You
exactly.
see what I'm saying? So
exactly.
can we see the results of our bad habits in our children right away? The answer is yes. Yes and no.
Yes.
Because there's some things that you would not see right away with your bad behavior. If you have a habit of, I'm just put it out there, sleeping around, you're a single mom and you're sleeping around, you may not see that habit in your child right away. But over time, as that child get older, and then as
That's
she
true.
Becomes adult or coming an older teenager, then you're going to see what you taught her when you was out there. You know what I'm saying? You
That's
say, well, I never did these things around her. And we're talking about Christian parents. We're not talking about worldly parents. We're talking about Christian parents. You understand the spiritual atmosphere of this, because even though you may don't do this in front of them, the spirit that comes with you when you come back in the house, it hovers your house. You hear what I'm saying? And so you got to be careful what spirits that you're bringing back to your house, because we talk about developing good habits for our children. We want to be very careful what we embrace in our private time, so when we get in the mongs and in the mongs of our children, that they don't have to experience all these spiritual battles that they don't know nothing about.
Amen.
And I said all the time, a lot of time our children is fighting our demons. They're fighting our demons.
Yeah, exactly. That's generational curses that are being passed down to from generation to generation, and it's. You know, it's not fair that they have to deal with that. That's why it's so important for us to realize, what we're doing and how we're looking to our children, when they see us, because they are fighting a lot of the battles that we had to fight because we didn't deal with it. We didn't take care of it. We didn't begin to walk out that Christian walk that we should have, And sometimes I love what Pastor Larry had said. I was listening to one of his clips. He said sometimes we're doing the on-the-job training. Sometimes we don't know.
Yeah.
And then we find
right.
out at, you know, later on. And so sometimes some things get slipped through the cracks, and then our children have to deal with it because we didn't know. But now I thank God for this share talking and being able to share with mothers of different ages that they can be victorious in this area. You know, they don't have to just continue to say, oh, well, you know, that's just a habit that I'm dealing with. No, they don't have to
right.
just settle. You don't have to settle.
Absolutely.
You have these precious babies that are looking at you, and you
mm-hmm.
want to do better for them. Even in the natural, a lot of you know, parents look at their lives that they had before, and they say, I want better for my children. That's the same thing with us being as Christian in the spiritual
mm-hmm.
realm. I want better for my children. You know, I want
Absolutely.
Them to be wonderful, mighty, powerful men and women of God, you know.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to take up my cross daily so that way I can show that and live out that example in front of them.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
I thank you for sharing that.
You know, I totally agree with you because, like you say, some of the stuff is on-the-job training. And even, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially when my mom died when I was 4 years old. I was four or three, one of those. And
okay.
so I didn't get that mothering. And then, you know, with living with grandmother, oh, my God, that's a whole other story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I lived with her up until I was like 9 years old. And then I went from, and then I got locked up with my brother in the shelter. And then next thing I know, I was in foster care. And then I went from house to house. And then I end up being with a relative, and then I wasn't there long. I wasn't there no more 2-3 years because a lot of stuff was happening there. And so now I'm actually a foster care kid. I've actually belong to this, but now I went from home to home. And so some of the things that I learned, I didn't know it was wrong. And so I got taught this type of stuff, and then I taught my children out of that. But when I knew there's something, you know, God, when he blew breath in man.
Yeah.
I truly believe with the Bible, it says he blew his spirit. And there's something,
yeah.
even though we wasn't saved when we was born, but there's something God give us, every individual. And sometimes we
yeah.
know, we can sense something is wrong. And I
That's
sensed
right.
something's wrong. I knew I wasn't who I need to be as a mother. And I started just looking up stuff. I just started seeking out. And then when I got the job that I got, I was open up to hear me. I say, okay, this is me. Okay, my stuff is out there. Even though nobody knew, I never said it to nobody else, but I was able to take something that I heard other families was dealing with, and I said, you know what, I need to correct that in my own family. And it helped
yeah.
me out. So what I'm saying, ladies, you got to be able to hear your issues in somebody else. Do you have an ear to hear your issues in somebody else and then come home and apply the word of God to that issue? So because if you don't, what's going to happen, you're going to continue passing that generational curse. You see what I'm
yeah.
saying? You're going to pass on to your children, and your children are going to live out the very thing that we don't. And I know every mother out there that's listening, this is not what you want. You do not want your children to struggle what you struggle with. You do not want
that's
your
right.
children to struggle in these areas because you love them so much. But we got to do our due diligence, either for them. Okay, we're going to go
yes.
on to the next question. Before we go to the next question, sis, we're going to go ahead and go to a commercial, and we're going to be
okay.
right back.
All right.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire Magazine. Inspire Magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else. Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
All right, ladies, we're back, and we bless God that you're tuning in with us on today. And we're talking about do as I say, not as I do. And today is Monday, Mother's Monday, and this talk show is for women only. And women, we want to empower you, we want to embrace you, we want to inspire you to be all that what God wants you to be. We're talking today about do as I say, not as I do. And we're on our third question, and the last question that we had was, can we see the result of our bad habits in our children right away? And we discovered that, yes, we can. Some habits that we have, we can see in our children right away. But there are some habits that we create in our lives that we'll see in our children down the road as they grow up, teenagers, and as they become an adult. The next question we have, what are some bad habits that we are passing down to our children? Do you have some general bad habits that you can actually spit out there, Lady Thomas, that we just normally pass down to our children? We're not aware, and I'm not talking about the good habits. We're talking about bad habits that can be something we could be passing down.
Yes. I love the fact that you brought up gossiping. You know, as women, we actually love to gossip. We love to talk about other people and you know, if they doing bad or if they doing good, you know, and God is telling us that, you know, in his word, he says that there is power of life and death in the tongue. So we have to be careful with that. That's one of the bad habits that we may pass down to our children. And another one is complaining. Having that complaining is the spirit, you know, and just complaining about every little thing. But Apostle Paul says, if there be any good thing, think on those. Think on those good things. Whether it may be a rainy day, God, for the rain that, you know, our grass needed, our flowers needed, the trees needed, you know. So we can think on good things, even though there's our circumstances may be bad. We still give God the praise because this is not the end. We still have the victory. So, yeah, so those are some of the bad habits we may have. Lying, you know, or and then I've said that multiple times, stealing multiple times, because I have actually had to deal with that with myself when I was younger, and I had no idea that I was passing that on to my children. My son actually, thank God, he's delivered from it. But as him grow, you know, with him growing up, he's been going through that, you know, lying and cheating, and so that's something that is very, you know, that hits home for me. And I just, you know, realized, especially with, you know, with the money had come up missing. I'm like, God, I know I put this money somewhere, and come to find out my son had took it, or, you know, and we, you know, we had to deal with that, or lying. And I promise you, Pastor Teresa, if we didn't prove it that he was lying, he would still lie to our face. We had to have the proof.
Paula.
You, and then once we had to prove, and we can say, oh, I gotcha, you know, then he would say, oh, yeah, I was lying. But until we had that proof, he would deny it.
So he would lie to the third power.
So, I just thank God that he's a man now, and he's delivered. But those things are things that we, you know, we pass down to our children, not knowing that they're watching. That they see us, you know, they're watching every single thing that we're doing, and so it's just a blessing to see now that he is, you know, a man of God, and he's trying to follow after Christ, and I love what you said before that, you know, God is breathed that breath of life into us, and he has taught us, you know, right from wrong, giving us the Holy Spirit to help us that yes. Small, you know, small voice that we hear in our ear and that is in our heart that we know that, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And so I've learned, you know, over the years, you know, from me growing up that, you know, it's not right to steal. It's not right to lie. And I was able to teach that to my son in a loving way. You know,
right.
He got that butt toe up, you know, a couple of times.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we loved him and let him know that we're still for you. Just because these things had happened, we're not going to turn our back on you. And that's the same with God. He's never going to leave us and never forsake us. And that's something that we have to show to our children as well, that we're not going to leave them just because they have did something wrong, you know. So that's something important for us to teach them, so that in turn that they can turn around and teach their children and love on them
right.
as they, you know, whatever they may be going through.
Right,
so to answer
absolutely.
Your question, yes.
Yeah,
so those are amen.
Well, I got a list. I have a list over here, and I got some general things that we pass down to our children as bad habits, but then I got some surprise that I think we don't think about when we do these things and when we say these things and we go these places, what type of habits we actually pass down to our children. And mothers out there, I really need y'all to listen up, because I know a lot of times that we talk about different things, structure. I know I'm going to speak for myself. For a while, especially with my baby girl, Takesha, I literally raised her half of her life out of guilt because she things. I felt that it was my fault because I wasn't strong enough to remove myself from an environment that I was in that was not healthy for me and my children. And unfortunately, she suffered from behind that. My oldest daughter didn't when it come down to physical, but she may suffer from it a little bit more mentally versus the physical. Well, Takesha, she had to suffer from the physical and the mental. And so I wasn't healthy enough myself spiritually or physically to understand that I put myself and my children in danger zone. And then when it got to the place where it was too bad, I'd end up leaving, but the damage was already done by that time. And I didn't realize it. So I started seeing the behavior behind the environment I put my children in. And so she went through a lot of different things. And so I would literally walk out of guilt of a lot of stuff. I was in my former church that I was in. I was very active. I was over a lot of different ministries. It got to the place I had to get off of ministry so I can really be that mother that I need to be. And in my ministry, me and my husband ministry, we tell our families, you can't be on more than one, two ministries. You can't be over so many ministries. You can't be in. You don't have services where they be in church all the time, because I need you to be at your house. I need you to spend more time with your children. I need husbands, and one of the things my husband is really big on, and we're really big on, you can't, if you're a leader, we're in your business. We are in your business, and we're going to be in your business, and you got to treat your wife right. You got to treat your children right, because there's no use of being whatever in the church, and then you don't know how to, you're Miss Hero in the church, or Mrs. Hero, or Mr. Hero in the church, but then you're messed up at home. No.
Gotcha.
And that's a responsibility as the leaders of the church, that you make sure, because if they're going to help you with the ministry, then you need to make sure your leaders are healthy. You hear what I'm saying?
That's right.
I didn't say
that's
perfect.
Right.
I say healthy, meaning that even if they come up with a situation that they slip up, we can counsel you through it. But if it's consistent, oh, baby, you need to sit on down. Sit on down. I need you to sit on down and deal with your family. And that's all
that's right.
You need to do. Because we'd rather you, because the biggest thing I tell my women all the time at my ministry, I say, I can care less. For one, I don't let you tote my bags or nothing like that, because, you know, I have armor bearers. They don't tote my bag, take my shoes off. I do that for myself, because when I come home,
amen.
I have to do it for myself.
Amen.
But they help me with prayer, praying for the people, assisting me in prayer with that kind of stuff. That's what my armor bearers do with me and the ministry we and my husband have. But I tell them, I don't care nothing about your calling, your anointing on your life, if your house is not in order.
Amen.
So in other words, for me, when I was going through it, and not to go in a lot of details, I wasn't told that. And so I felt like I had to be at the church all the time. And so a lot of times, my children was left home, unattended, even though they was old enough to take care of what a lot of things happened. Why? Even though they could, because some of the ministries I was over, they could not help me with those ministries. And so, and we didn't have where while I'm doing ministry and I'm meeting, I'm developing, I'm powering, I'm doing all this kind of stuff, they had an area where the children could be at. And then you know, there was a lot of things I had to do, and it was nobody's fault but mine, you know, because, you know, if you're not whole in yourself and you feel like that you obligated to people versus the people that you live with, then that's not nobody's fault. It wasn't my former pastor. It wasn't my former pastor, first lady. It was not. I'm taking full responsibility what I allowed myself to get into because I should have been whole before I started leadership. You understand what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Because that's
gotcha.
What I try to do. Not to say they're gonna be perfect because you got some people that's powerful in God, but and we had to work on their character flaws. I can work with you on that. But I'm serious.
Yes.
I literally dropped the ball on some things with my daughter. And so because I dropped the ball on some things with my daughter, I had to reap the benefits from that. I reaped it. I really reaped it. You know, my daughter went through and some things I was too late and I had to go back and I had to go to God and I said, God, first I had to ask for forgiveness for him and then I had to go to her and apologize to her that I dropped the ball and then I had to revamp what I was doing. And, you know, I tell my ministry all the time, I said, no, you ain't going to be all over here doing everything and then your family is going down the road. Get more catered to my family. Yes, I got a call to God on my life, but my first ministry is my family. My first ministry is my husband and my children, and I got to make sure they're healthy and stuff like that. Yeah. So I thank God that I did go through the trials. It was nobody's fault but mine. I took on too much responsibility, even though, because sometimes, ladies, I want you to hear something. Some of you don't go to Father House Kingdom Ministry, and I'm not talking against your pastor, and I'm talking against pastors, period. But I will want to say this to you, that you have to be careful, you know, that you're not healthy in ministry. And I don't care if it's my church, and I tell my people, I say, if we put too much on you, we're not healthy, and that's not right.
That's right.
Don't be
that's
here,
right.
And we're putting all this stuff on you, and you know you're going through X, Y, and Z, and we're not paying attention to that, and we're not taking note of that, and we're not making sure the ministry is meeting those needs so you can be empowered to be a better mom or be a better husband or be a better wife. Don't come to this church. If we're not doing those type of things, don't come to our church. You need to go to a church that's healthy.
That's
so
right.
I said today, I'm not telling nobody else because I'm pretty sure there's all kinds of people listening. But what I'm saying is we, as a body of Christ, we got to get more healthy.
Yeah.
Because we're losing our children. Yeah. And we're losing our children on our watch. We're losing our children while we're praying. We're losing our children while we're preaching. We're losing our children while we're saving everybody else. But our children are getting lost. And our children are getting they role models as people of the world, of the secular world.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It should not be. Their role model should not be people of the world. Their role model should be people in their house or people they can find in a local church.
That's
doing, you know, I was looking at, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to go on. I was looking at this video, and it blessed my soul. I reposted it. I post some of our young people in it. And I was like, wow, in the Koji Church, they believe in raising their children up to be women and men of God. And that's what we're doing in our ministry. We're teaching the youngest preacher we got in our ministry is 11 years old. We're teaching. We're not waiting till they get 20. No, we're teaching them now. We're getting ready to start our ministry class next month. And those young people are going to be in that class because we're going to teach them because they got the desire, you know, because of the way we shape our ministry. We teach them, no. There's something in you outside of you being a flag girl.
That's right.
I'm not saying that's offensive.
Yes.
But if it's going against who you are in the kingdom, I need you to revamp that. I need you to revamp that. I need you to think about this kind of stuff. And I think a lot of parents, we don't think about stuff, you know, what we allow our children to get into. And then you're talking about these Christian kids. But then the things they're getting into is requiring them to take on another mindset. And they dropping
like a hot
vagina all over the football field. That's totally different against them. And then they get on the dance finish on Sunday. And then the glory can't fall. And unfortunately, you don't understand, and then we don't have a discernment to understand what's the glory and when it's flesh. I don't lost my 4 or 5 people when I said that. I'm serious, sis. We as the church, I'm talking about Christians.
Yes.
What do Christians mean? Christ-like.
That's right.
And we got this thing in the body of Christ that God is doing a new thing. Who said that? Who came up with that? Who told you that? What pastor, what evangelist, what prophet is, what prophet start speaking that, and then everybody start developing? We doing a new thing. When did this new thing supposed to be going against what God said in his word?
Exactly.
We should be following the example of Christ. We should be following the example of Christ. So I say this. I missed the ball on some stuff, sis. I really did, and I don't mind sharing.
You and me both.
To help you out, audience. I missed the ball. And because I missed the ball, my daughter had to suffer some things. But I think, blessed be to God, that things worked out at the end. But it was
Amen.
A struggle.
Yeah.
And
some
I still cry in the middle of the night for the things that my daughter had to suffer and my family had to suffer because I dropped the ball. No, I can't put no blame on nobody else. I have to put the responsibility and what I'm trying to teach you out there. You got to take responsibility, you and your husband, or if you're a single mom, you got to take responsibility of your house, because at the end of the day, you got to deal with your child. You got to have to go before God and give an account what you allowed and what you did not allow with your child. So
That's
what kind of habit that we could be passing down to our children? Here are some things that I have.
Okay.
Not following through. Not following through. That's a habit that we can pass down to our child. When you tell your child, good or bad, whatever the situation may be, if you don't follow through those things, you are teaching your children they don't have to follow through with their responsibility. I need you to catch me in the spirit. When we don't follow, we tell these children that we're going to do X, Y, and Z, but then at the same time, thank you, Holy Spirit, we got to be careful tell our children we're going to do. I mess a lot of people up when I say this, and a lot of people are like, oh, I don't agree with that. It's okay. You don't have to agree with it, but it's still right. I truly believe that children earned some things. We're giving our children too much. We're giving our children too much. I see 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds have an iPhone. Why? Why do a 5-year-old have an iPhone? What responsibility? You know, how did that child earn that? So when that child gets 16, 17 years old, when they should earn those type of things, and I think that's still too young, what you going to give them then? What you going to give them, a BMW?
Exactly.
You know
what I'm saying? Exactly.
Our children are getting too much before their time. So,
exactly.
So when I say that and we don't follow through, that could be a bad habit that we pass down to our children. I mean this. If we tell our children we're going to do something, I have learned from that, from experience. I would tell my children I'm going to do something, and I will allow everything and anything to get in the way, and I don't follow through with it. I don't follow through with it. The other tell them that I'm going to discipline them, and I don't follow through that. That's another bad habit.
Yeah.
Because now you're getting a monster.
There you go.
Our children need to be disciplined. The next thing is not setting limits. And it's almost tied into not following up through things. If we don't set limits for our children, we need to set limits. You need to look at your child age, and do things according to this age. And some of you parents out there, and I feel you out there, some of you are actually making bad decisions because you're feeling guilty about something. I don't know, did you? Because I deal with a lot of mothers that, you know, gave their child up when they was younger. And whatever reason, so the grandmother or auntie raised the child, and then they get the child, and then sometimes they actually literally walk out of guilt. So to compensate what I did not do when you was coming up, I'm going to give you everything. But let me tell you what you're doing to that child. You're creating a monster for one.
Oh, yeah.
As that child get older, and I'm going to show you how you can tell. Tell that child that you're not going to be able to do something and see how they get an attitude with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Listen to how that child talk to you. Do they talk to you with you? No, they don't. Why? Because they know you walking out on guilt on them. I told my daughter, I had to get to the place. I went to my daughter and I said, listen, I'm not doing this no more. And I set her down and I said, I do apologize where I dropped the ball, but I am not your friend.
That's right.
I'm your
You said it.
I'm your mother. And my job, God gave me this assignment to coach you and to guide you to be an adult, not your friend.
Amen.
So here's how it's going to go.
You spoke on that one right there, Pastor. God just gave me a revelation last week, and I said, Lord, you know, I look at all, you know, I see Facebook, and I talk to my friends, and I see how all of them are just buddy-buddy with their kids. And I said, okay, I always said in my mind, I said, you know what, I'm her mother. But at the same time, I kind of envy that. I envy the relationships that I've seen with these mothers and daughters. And it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm trying to give in, and like you said, because of guilt or whatever it may be, you know, striving for that buddy-buddy relationship, wanting her to like me so. And I said, okay, after a while, the attitudes just kept getting stinker and stinker. And I said, Lord, you know what? I don't want to hate my child. I don't want to let the enemy get into our home in that way to where I'm hating my child. I said, mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to trust God with her, and I'm going to know that it's okay that I'm not her friend, because right now they don't need your friendship. They got plenty mm-hmm. of friends in the schoolhouse. I had to get this revelation, Pastor. I promise you, I had to just this past week, and I said, you know what? When she said something, and I told her, I said, she's 17 years old, but I still tear that butt up. I promise you, I still will. And once she realized that, she was like, oh, wait a minute. She had to step back and realize that I meant business, but it took for God to give me that revelation. I knew it in my knower that I'm her mom. But at the same time, I envy that, what I saw with my friends and their children. And you know, and to this day, their relationship is really not all that good, because their kids were talking to them the way they wanted to talk to them, because they think, oh, this sister girl, you know, this not my mom, this my friend. I can tell her what I want to tell her and wear what I want to wear and do what I want to do. And I said, that's not going to happen in my household. So that really hit home for me. So I'm very happy that you brought that up. Just having that revelation that we are their mothers.
That's
not
right.
Friends.
They're not.
They're mothers, and
if you don't
say
so,
it again, Pastor.
This is when you develop in a healthy relationship, listeners, and I need you to really listen to this. It's okay. As your child, your children, especially your daughters, let me tell you something. The enemy is going to work against mother and daughter, for sure.
Yes.
You may not have, you won't have some problems at your sons, but the war is going to come between mother and daughter. Why is that? Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason why that is because, for one, you see another you. Not so much the behavior, but you're training this young lady to be how to be a wife and how to be a mother. I tell our church, I say, you know, we're not training nobody to be no baby mamas. We're not nobody to be baby daddies. We're training our children to be husbands and wives. I say we got to change the mindset how we should look at our children. We should train. That's the reason why I don't grieve. We teach our ministry. You say, hey, y'all going to do what you want to do, but we're going to put it out there. Our children should not be dating at a certain age. No, because they need to be mature enough. They don't understand
that
type of stuff. I just had a young person come talk to me Sunday, and they was sharing some things with me, and it's because they get into a relationship too soon. And now your heart is hurting. Well, you should not even experience that type of stuff now. You should not be experiencing a level of hurt like that. But why? Well, we put our children out there where they going to learn, and they going to, and they got to know. But let me tell you something. When I tell my young people this, I said, let me tell you what's going to happen. You get a good boyfriend in seventh grade, and you think you're going to marry him when he get older. Okay, girl, please. Okay, then you get in the ninth grade, got another boyfriend. It's another boyfriend you like. But let me tell you what this stuff is teaching you. It's teaching you how not to tolerate your husband when you do get married. Because you're not going to
be teaching them divorce. That's what it is.
That's what it's teaching them. So if you're in the seventh grade, got a boyfriend, then you break up after 2 months. Then you get another boyfriend in the eighth grade, and you break up after 6 months. And then you get in the 10th grade, you stay with this person about 10 months, 11 months, but then that don't work out. And then guess what? You going on. And then by the time you get into high school, you don't have two, three other boyfriends. And then when you get into college, you get into college, you want to be a little bit more serious, but that lasts for 5 years, and then you don't go nowhere with that. And please don't let sex be involved. Don't let sex be involved. Oh, my God. That's a whole nother.
That's a total different. Exactly. That's a different level. My God.
Excuse me. So we're asking. So what I'm saying is that we got to come up with a better habit. See, what we're trying to do, we're talking about Christian children, Christian parents.
Yes.
We're trying to provide our people the very thing that the world is doing. And we should not be doing the same thing. We should not be doing the same thing. I want to go on. Okay, fail. We talk about not setting limits. You should be setting some type of limits for your child. You should not let them.
Yes.
I tell my girls home when they was younger, and I tell them, I said, no, I don't care. Yeah, you may be home, and you may got a cell phone, but that cell phone go off at certain times. No, ma'am. There
exactly.
is going to be some
Amen.
That. And if you can't
right.
handle it, put your cell phone on the desk for me, please. I thank you so much.
Yes.
Mama, that's
yes,
not fair. I'm 16 years old. Okay. And what that supposed to mean? Hello? What
I know.
If you're 18 years old, you think you're supposed to come in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't think so. No, we not.
No.
My grandma used to say this. When you out that late, ain't no but one thing that's open. That's legs.
Mm-hmm.
It
exactly.
ain't going to be your legs.
Exactly.
I think your legs should be in this house.
Exactly. Amen.
But there should be some limits for our young people.
Yes.
We should
exactly.
not let them go everywhere and spend a night everywhere, wear anything, tight stuff. We got some
exactly.
healthy girls
exactly.
that got some nice figures, nice round buttocks, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
we should not see all that. I should not see the print of your vagina through your jeans. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Did I say
exactly.
Yes, I did.
So,
yes, we should be teaching our young girls how to be young ladies, how to dress modest. And if we don't
yes.
teach them that, I'm telling you, I hear you in the spirit. Oh, my God, I feel some things in the spirit out there in the audience land. Yes, I hear you. It's hard, and I know it's hard. That's the reason why you need to make sure you up on some good teaching. Because when you're saying something, when you get to church, they should be saying the same thing. When you get to school, you need to talk to the school you need to make sure that, you know, when they're in school, it's a whole different situation. But if you're not putting these principles in your house, and you go into churches or ministries that's loose and they don't have these same values, guess what's going to happen? They're going to compare your parenting to all the other parents. And guess what?
Yes.
And even with that, I had that done too. My oldest daughter, God blessed be to God. She got married and she was a virgin, and I thank God for that. But that didn't happen overnight. We planned that, and then she planned
for
herself because we set up rules, and I thank God for that. You know, and then she back in the day she used to ask my butt, Mama, sister so and so daughter let her do. I said, okay, sister so and so daughter gonna be pregnant, and you ain't gonna be pregnant. I'm sorry. Sorry, you're not going to be dealing with that. And I used to have to pull my daughter out of a circle when I saw it got unhealthy. I said, no, she got to come out of that circle.
That's right.
God had already showed me the plans that he had for her life, and I got to protect that. I got to protect her anointing, and I can't protect her anointing, let her hang around with anybody. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to do that. And some of you parents out there, you got to sit down. I hear you. You got to sit down with you and Jesus first. And you
That's
and
right.
Jesus need to talk. And you need to ask for forgiveness, because God says in his word, train up a child. You can't train up a child and everybody tell you what you're supposed to do with your children. And because
That's
of what
right.
they're doing, and what they're doing is not even going based on the word of God. It's not going
That's
to
right.
by the way. Let me go on, because we're wrapping up for time. The next thing is consistently giving your children too much. That's a bad habit. And I had kind of said that a little bit earlier. When we're giving our children too much, you got to learn what to give them, what not to give them. I truly believe when my daughter's birthday parties, what I used to do the first birthday, you get a first birthday party. When you turn 5, you may get another birthday party. When you turn 10, when you turn 16, and when you turn 18, that's it. I'm not doing nothing for you every year. God bless you. We're not doing that for you every year. We're not doing that. And with the Sweet 16 stuff, oh, my God, the world put that out there.
Oh.
The church went and adopted it. And then now these children got these secular artists as their idol. And they're trying to do a party with Nicki Minaj and Beyonce.
Mm.
Why are these girls want to be like them? That's not what it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
But
not at all.
We're not being that mother that we should. And I hear you. Oh, I hear you out there. Oh, I hear you. Oh, now you're going to hit me upside the head, Pastor Teresa.
Uh-oh.
No, baby.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying to help you. Because when you come down, when at the end of the day, you want your child to get where she needs to go without being tampered with.
That's right.
And because think about the struggles you have. Think about your struggles. And we as an adults, we deal with our own struggles. You really think your child is ready for that? Do you really think your child is going to be able to fight off them demons and fight off that stuff that they feel on the inside, and they don't got no word in them? All they got is the world. I need you to think about me. And we have a hard time with ourselves. So why would we allow our children? We got to protect the gateways. We got to protect the eyes and the ears. Yes, they're going to fight against you. And I like what you said, Lady Thomas. You said, you know what? You walked in that place where you would start feeling bad because you seen other relationships. But you knew something was, you knew that you need to be your child's mother. I felt that way too. You know, there was a time when I used to tell my daughter no, and I would go in my room and cry. I said, God, I don't want my daughter to hate me. He said, trust me. You keep your standards. You keep what I told you to do. And you trust me and watch me bring her out, and she's not going to want it. My daughter got around my 17 years old, and she can't tell me. She said, Mama, I understand. She was 17. Mama, I understand now. And I ain't had that problem out of her after that no more. And she understood. I said, Tiffany, I'm not here to be your friend. I love you. And believe me, I'm your best cheerleader. I'm the person, I promise you, out of everybody in this world, I want to see you prosper. I want to see you go reach higher heights and deeper depths. I really want to see that. I said, but I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me that I love you enough to tell you no.
That's right.
And she came back to me and she said, Mama, I appreciate that. And as she got older, now she got a daughter, she said, I understand. I said, because
I know that's right.
You want the best. You want the best for your child. You don't want them to be having to fight off this stuff. Because my daughter, Tiffany, she don't have to fight off certain things because she never experienced. I said, Tiffany, I really wish I had your testimony. That's a whole nother story there. So my next thing is something you said earlier, not listening enough. That's a bad habit. That's a bad habit we can be passed out to our children, not listening enough. We got to listen to our children. We got to listen to them. They do need to tell us. There's some things they do need to be able to share what's on their heart. They do.
That's right.
We said this too. We said this in talking, being our children's friend before being their parent. You know, God for my relationship with my children. I really do. Because out of being a good parent, friendship came. I need you to hear me, audience. A good parent, after salvation and after I learned some stuff, then the friendship came. Me and my oldest daughter, I love my daughter. I'm so proud of her. She is a good, she may not think so, but she is a good mother. And, you know, I just look at her and I just want to cry sometimes. I say, look what the Lord have done. And they told me that, you know, a teenager, I had that baby when I was 14 years old. And they told me that there's no way that my children, was going to be able to mount into this day because I was a teen parent. Well, that definitely is a lie. And God
That's right.
But I thank God for my mother. She's a good mother and she's a good wife. And out of our relationship, because I was her mother, even though I felt those guilty times and I wanted to be her friend, I thank God that out of my being a good parent and being that mother that I need to be, we became friends. But we became friends when she was grown. When she was grown. And I thank God now. We are friends. Yeah. I thank God for my daughter. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'm going to just put this out there because we are shooting for time. My God, we're shooting for time. But listen to this. Here are some other things that I really feel that sometimes that we don't think about what type of bad habits we're passing down to our children. We don't realize how we spend our money, we spend our money in front of our children. We're passing our bad habits. You need to tell your children you need to develop good habits. You're supposed to go in the Family Dollar and go and get some tissue and some milk. You go in and buy the whole store. That's a bad habit to your daughter. I need you to catch me. We need to think about how we spend our money because if we teach our children that you take all the money and spend everything at one time, guess what's going to happen? They're going to have that bad habit.
That's right.
Another bad habit we pass down to our children. We're going to go to our last question because I didn't get to my steps yet. Oh, Jesus. What is important? What is important? For you to teach your child what is important, you need to know what is important first. And this is a bad habit when you don't know what's important, and so the child don't know what's important. What's the first thing I should be doing? You know, a lot of times we want our children to go out to college, and then we're setting them up. We're not teaching them. You know, the first thing we need to do is really make sure that you are ready to go out of go out of town. Sometimes these kids need to stay in Jacksonville and go to the local college because they're not ready. If they have not been responsible in high school, why would you send your child out of town just to have the experience and then all the money they lose? Are you serious? Okay, that's a whole other show. I'm gonna talk about that another time. But I want to go to how can I reverse bad habits? Oh my God, this has been a good show. How can I reverse
it
bad habits? We have 10 minutes, sis.
Oh my goodness!
Do you have anything? Do you have anything that you want to share before I give these steps about how can we reverse these bad habits? Go ahead, sis.
I'm going to say real quick, just praying and trusting God. God has given you these children because he's trusting you to be that parent that you know, that he has equipped you to be. He has equipped you to be a godly example for these children. So we're going to trust God right back with them. And that's what I tell people when they say, you know, how do you feel about your son being married and you know, being grown and out on his own? I'm trusting God. Just like God has trusted me with him, I'm giving them right back to him. I'm praying over him. I'm interceding for him. And I'm just trusting God and walking out that Christian walk in front of them. That's what
Amen.
I wanted to.
Amen.
That's the last thing I wanted
Amen.
To say real quick. I know you got some good steps going. I'm writing them down as you go, Pastor.
listen. The Word of God says in Philippians 2:5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5 said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." So for us to be able to reverse our bad decisions and bad habits, we got to take on the mind of Christ. We got to take on the mind of Christ, just like the woman of God has said. We got to take on the mind of Christ. So you first—that's the first thing we have to understand. As we praying, we got to say, "God, I take on your mind." It said, "Let this mind be in you." That's also what is also in Christ Jesus, the mind of God. God, when you have the mind of God, God will give you revelation in revelation in revelation. And then Romans 12 says this: Don't copy. I need you to listen to this. Romans 12:2. Says, and this is the New Living, it said, don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's ways and will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So we're talking about how can we reverse these bad habits that we have created. You got to go to the Word of God. You got to take on the mind of Christ. You got to make up in your mind that you don't want to take on the custom of this world. Now, here's my 5 steps, and we got 8 minutes to go. The first thing you want to do, as I was talking about the prayer, and you're talking about getting the Word of God, you need to decide that you want to make some changes. You got to make a conscious decision that you need to make some changes, because a lot of times, We say we want to make change, but did you make a conscious decision that you need to make a change? Number 2 is gain an insight on what's causing the habit. What is the insight? Gain an insight on what's causing the habit. A lot of times bad habit is from something. It's coming from somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's coming from a place of brokenness. It's coming from a place of guilt. I don't know what that place has come. I don't know how you develop that bad habit, but you need to go in that place and find out where this habit come from. Then, number 3, set a reasonable goal. You need to set some goals for your life. If you know that you got a bad habit of gossiping, set a goal for yourself that you're going to stay off the phone for a period of time. I'm just using for example, stay off the phone for a period of time, or, you know, when you get on the phone, that you stay on the phone only for 3 minutes because you know your mouth is going to run loose. So you know you want to go ahead and not be on the phone for a long period of time. That's just one example I wanted to give you. Number 4, measure your progress and don't be discouraged if you slip up. You do got to encourage yourself because there's sometimes we're going to slip up. We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And if we actually serve a perfect God, God can endow us with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is going to remind you, and he's going to teach you some. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you got to literally have to measure your progress and don't be discouraged if you slip up. occasionally slip up on something. You know, also the last one I think going to help you about the slip up, you got to have an accountability partner. You got to have accountability partner. You got to find someone that you can say, hey, here's my habits. I need to change these habits. Here's some things I'm doing that I could be passing down to my children that's not good for them. But first, I need to correct those things in myself, and I need to make myself accountable to you. It may be, if you're married, it may be your husband. It may not be your husband. It may be a good sister that you see that has meet these goals, and they are maybe your pastor, it may be your first lady, whatever you call it in your church, things in that nature. Mm-hmm. It may be a minister or elder. It may be a friend at your job, but it may be you need to have accountability partner that's going to make you accountable, that's going to check on you and say, where are you in this? How you doing in this? Did you meet the mark this week? Because what's happened, what I told you earlier, it takes 21 days to learn a habit. So just imagine if you do these five steps, and there may be more steps. I'm not saying we know everything. Just like our outline said, we're just providing you some biblical, practical, and life experience to help you down along the way. You may have to add something to this, and you may have to take something away. But what I am saying to you, be conscious of what you say and what you do, the places you go, the people you talk to, how you talk around your children, because we're teaching our children, whether we like it or not, whether you think they're listening or not, we're teaching our children, and your habits become their habits, and we have to do better in that. So that's our talk today. Do as I say, not as I do. We should not be living that out. We should be living an example for our children to live by. But they can see this is how we're supposed to act. This is what we're supposed to be saying. We should not be saying this. We should not be acting this way. We are to be a living example for our children. They should not have to look outside their house to see that example. They should be able to look inside their house and see that example. And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. No, I'm not. But what I am saying is that if you're seeking God and you desire to be better in Him and you desire to be all the mother, all the wife that you want to be, then God is going to send people your way like He sent you Share Talk today. And He's sharing His heart with you through Share Talk today. And I just pray that you take some things that we said. Everything may not fit you. Everything may not be what you have done or did not do. But what I am saying to you, if you take these principles and really apply it to your life and really seek the face of God, pray, fast, and seek His face, I promise you He's going to lead you and guide you and give you the wisdom of God that He needs to give you. But if you're not seeking His face, you're not going to be able to know and get the wisdom of God to know what you need to do. I truly believe that your heart is open and your mind is clear. And I believe that everybody's on this line that's going to hear this this show, that's going to see themselves somewhere in this show, somewhere. Don't get stubborn. The Bible said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart today. Don't go into excuse making. Don't go into what you did not get and what somebody did to you. Don't go into that. Give that to God. Say, God, I'm giving you that. I want to be a better person. I want to shoot my children to the direction they need to go. And they're not going to get to that direction if they got their mind and their ears are cluttered with the world.
Yeah.
I keep going to see some stuff out there in the world they are, but when they get home, they should be see a righteous family. They're going to see, they're going to be cussing, they're going to hear secular music, they're going to hear that stuff, but they should be able to say, my mama don't play that at my house. My mama don't allow me to do that at my house. If they listen to it, they kind of listen to out in the world. And I know some of you saying right now, I got a lot of changing to do. Yes, you do. But let me tell you something. Start today. Start with you first. Start
Amen.
With you. Don't try to set goals that's reachable for yourself. Set goals that's reachable for your children, your family. Don't beat yourself up. I hear you, woman of God. I hear you out there. Don't beat yourself up. Don't do that. But what I want you to do, I want you to take what we talked about today and say, you know what, I do need to change some things, and I'm going to change some things, but you got to first start it with you. Would you start it with you today? We want to lead you out in prayer today, and we want you to know that you got some sisters, you got some prayer warriors that's going to be praying on your behalf. And you know what? I see your future be a little bit more brighter. But I also see there's going to be challenges, because if you, like me, and we're human beings, we're going to get challenged. And it's nothing wrong getting challenged, but what is wrong with it when we yield to the temptation that comes to us every day? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you did on this show today. We thank you right now that you open our hearts, you open our minds, and we receive what was need to be received on today. God, we want to be better mothers. We want to be better wives. We want to be better sisters, God. We want to be better vessels, God. Now, God, actually right now, God, give these women the tools that was given today. Allow them to apply by we ask you right now to protect their children. Protect them, God. Let them not walk in condemnation. Let them walk in the freedom of you, God. But give them the wisdom that they need to know how to apply what was taught today. We ask you right now, forgive us for every sin that we have committed, God. We ask you right now, come in the midst, God, and protect every listener on today, all their children, every last one of them, their grandchildren, God. We thank you right now, you're destroying generation of curses, God. God, they would not have no rule over our life, God. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woman of God, I bless you today. God, I thank you for being with us today. We're going to go out, listen to a commercial, and I'll see you right back here on Share Talk next week.
God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire Magazine. Inspire Magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else. Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you. You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought to you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guaranteed to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at TeresaBurtonMinistry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.